Do you want to be taped?
What?
Do you mind being taped?
No.
Sunday night, Chavis Halvavas, ladies, Pitochan Shia. Yeah, question.
Okay. If everything is ordained, even to the smallest mosquito bite, so then can I assume then that everything, even to the ant walking in your path or the fly on the wall or anything, is ordained for it, your eyes?
Do you mean, so if it affects a person, then it is. You were meant to see it if you're affected by it. There is a fundamental question among Rishonim. You know, the proverbial tree in the forest, a leaf falls in the forest. If man is unaffected, is there hashkacha pratis on that? It seems there's a difference of opinion about that. But once man is affected, mankind, once a person's affected by it, then he was meant to see it. So if you see an ant, I'm not sure, if you see an ant going by, well, actually, if you see an ant, then you should really, according to the Chavis Halvavas and Shar HaBechina, you should contemplate the flows HaBori. You should think about, the Gemara says, how industrious the ant is. We should learn, you learn industriousness, and you could be in a spoil about the size of the ant, and it works. It moves. You know how they communicate? You could write books and books and books about ants. It's like amazing. They communicate. They give orders. It's like a whole army.
I guess my question is, so did Hashem then, in the orchestration of that exact second, put that ant there?
Yeah, and we're going to learn about that today in more detail. Okay. Let's. I believe we're on page. Okay, we're in Perek Shlishi. Perek Shlishi. I want to do something arbitrary now. There's nothing. It just has to do with the naming, with the file, because people listen. I was very pleasantly surprised to find out that there are actually people that listen to the download. It's a little confusing the way it appears on the website. So I'm arbitrarily going to call today's shiur in Perek Shlishi Shar Bitachon the fourth shiur in Perek Shlishi, just as a way of keeping a seder. The fourth shiur in Perek Shlishi. That will be tonight. Okay, so page Kuf Lamed Gimel in the text that we're using, and we're going to start from the third line, the Hachamishis. We're still going through the Chavis Halvavas is still going to make a list of five things to perfect bitachon, and number one of the five are the clarification and the internalization of the seven things of Perek Beis which allow a person to have a bitachon. So you have to think and contemplate and realize and internalize that Hashem has these seven sibos that allow one to rely on him. The Hachamishis, and this is number six actually in Perek Beis, if you're keeping a scorecard. She'ein bidei echad hanivroim l'ho la'atzmo below lahazik. You really have to think, this person can't do anything to me unless Hashem allows him to, unless Hashem wants him to. Now again, he'll be talking later about hishtadlus. If there's an evil person that's hellbent on harming you in some way, so you can't just sit back and do nothing. You have to take steps to protect yourself. That's part of the hishtadlus, part of the hisaskus besibos. The Chavis Halvavas doesn't use the word hishtadlus. He uses the word hisaskus besibos. Hashem wants you to be busy going through the motions of the things that apparently are bringing whatever's happening about. You have to deal with the situation. Just like you have to pick up the piece of bread and bring it to your mouth. You can't just say, I have bitachon that Hashem will feed me. So this is true about a person meaning to harm you too. But if things are beyond your control, if things seem unfair, really the chinuch's approach to controlling yourself against taking the koma and not to bear a grudge with Natira, there's different approaches to it. The Rambam's approach is that nothing should be so, it's inconsequential. It's only Olam Hazeh. What happened already? Big deal. It shouldn't be that big a deal that it causes you to react to it. That's the Rambam's approach in not taking the koma. The Chinuch's approach in not taking the koma is to view it as Hashem. Hashem did it. Hashem wanted it to happen. And again, he's an evildoer. He or she are evildoers and they'll be punished. But your perspective, and this is how to deal with the koma, this is how to deal with the urge to talk Lashon Hara, to talk Rechilus, the urge to lash back. People could be very hurt. I'm afraid we all know, I assume we all know, that people could be very hurtful and spiteful at times, and you want to lash back, and you certainly want to talk about it. And really, someone opens up a store right next to your store, all sorts of things happen. And this is the Chayyus HaLodos' way of dealing with it, the Chinuch's way of dealing with it, is really, he can't do anything to me unless it's Pugzeiros Hashem. And you get calm. It's very hard. It's very hard. It takes work. You have to think about this. You have to contemplate it. You have to turn it over in your mind. She'ein bidei achad hanivroim, lahoa la'atzmo, to help him, not even to help him, below lahazik, the lola zuloso, not you, not anyone else, ki'im b'rshus Hashem yisala. So this, of course, is the ingredient of bitachon, number five, that therefore you're always focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Really, like we say in Aleinu, we say it either one time a day or two times a day, and some of us say it even three times a day. Say Emes Malkeinu Ether Zulaso. So who Elokeinu Einod? Okay, I told you. I mentioned what this Tupsha Einod Milvado on the simple level means there's no other power besides Him, and on a deeper level, which is attributed to the Baal Shem Tov, that he made that the Pasha Tepshat, that Ein Od Milvado means there's nothing, not there's no other power besides Hashem, but there is nothing, everything is just Hashem. And really, the next phrase, we say Emes Malkeinu, Emes means Hashem is the only objective reality. That's what Hashem Elokim Emes means, the Rambam says. Everything else is just subject to the will of Hashem. So that means, when you think about it, everything else's existence is only subjective. There's no objective existence in the world. I don't know if anybody took philosophy 101. That's what they teach you, right? How do you know it exists? anything exists. There's some truth to it. The truth is nothing really exists objectively. It's all subjective, and it's subject to the will of Hashem. And this is only here because Hashem wills it to. That's what I mean. This is only here because Hashem wills it to be here at this very moment. If Hashem's will would kvayochol cease, so not sure it would break. It would disappear. It wouldn't be. It's a hard concept to fathom once we move away from chairs and tables and we move into events. So it's harder because, the truth is we see a chair also as having objective existence. Clearly we don't, it's there. And then you get even deeper. What about time? We can't imagine that time only exists because Hashem wills it to exist. I challenge you. I don't think the human mind. Maybe I'm being a bald guy here because I can't. Okay. I don't think it's possible to conceive of a world without of no time. I don't. I can't grasp. What do you mean no time? But then it's the next second, isn't it? Like, what happens if there's no time? How could there be no time? But time is also a subjective. Hashem was borei time. So everything is subjective, and everything. That's why, you know, we have trouble understanding Hashem as HaYehovah the year. We sort of think like Hashem like has this crystal ball and he can look into the future. Hashem doesn't look into the future. Hashem is above time. There's no, time doesn't exist. So everything's there. So, you know, everything is just, he's watching a play, you know, and he sees already the third act, you know, and he's looking down and there's all, we're in the second act, but he's on top and he's like looking over on the third act. And the past is also as much the present as the present is. The present is only to us. Anyway, so Hashem, this idea, it needs elaboration, it needs thought, but this idea is what the Pasuk says. This is the Rambam. The Rambam in the beginning of the Rambam says, when the Pasuk says, Hashem Elokim Emes, that's what it means, Hashem Elokim Emes. That's what it means. It refers to the objective existence of Hashem. That's why, if you're aware by Kriya Shema, the Pasuk ends up, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's the end of the Pasuk. And really, so that's at the end of the Pasuk. And then really what you're saying next is, Emes v'yatziv v'nachom v'kayom v'yoshar v'ne'mon v'yohuv. But there's a din that you're supposed to put Emes next to Hashem Elokeichem. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes. You're supposed to put that together. Because of the Pasuk, the Gemara says, of Hashem Elokim Emes. Just like it's together in that Pasuk, so you put it together here. So, you know, you learn it, oh, nice, you know, it's cute, you know, there's such a Pasuk, you know, it's cute, we're going to put it together. But there's a much deeper idea here, because according to the Rambam, this Hashem Elokim Emes Pasuk is a very fundamental statement of Hashem Echad. It's a very fundamental, it fits into Kriya Shema very deeply, very fundamentally. This is like, it belongs in Kriya Shema. Saying Hashem Elokim Emes, just like you say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, so you say Hashem Elokim Emes. You say Hashem Elokeichem Emes. That's how we put it together. So everything is subject to the will of Hashem, and only Hashem has objective existence. So that's why this goes for events also, not just for chairs and time, and it goes on events. So that's. You really have to believe that. And this really, you know, it calms you down. As I say, the Chinuch says this is the way you avoid Nakama. This is the way you avoid, I'm saying that, this is the way you avoid Lashon Hara, Sinah, the Machlaikis. This is the way you avoid Machlaikis. You know, you say Hashem wanted that to happen. David, because David was able to say that, he... Right, when Shimi ben Gera cursed him, when he was running away from Avshalom, Shimi ben Gera cursed him, and David's people wanted to kill Shimi ben Gera, and David said, Hashem omer lo kalel, this is not, I don't even look at it that he's cursing me. Now, you want to know, ultimately, was he punished for his crime? This is the dynamic you have to live with, because David, if you know Nach, David tells Shlomo, the son, that he should punish Shimi, because of course he deserves a punishment. When a person does something wrong, he deserves a punishment. So wait a second, so what are you talking about? The Teretz is, at that time it was personal. David's man didn't want him to punish Shimi ben Gera for doing an Aveira. It was personal. He's attacking you, he's doing something, you get him back, punish him, chutzpah. David said, no, he's a Talmud Chacham. Hashem Omer Lo Kalel. He did something wrong. He had to be punished. The Melech has to make sure that there's Mishpat in the world. He can't let people go around doing what they want. So after a few years go by, you know, we always think when we lash back, I'm not lashing back because I'm angry. I'm lashing back because of the injustice of it. So for that, you have to wait like 2-3 years. And then you see... if you're still as angry at the, or another way you could tell is if it happens to someone else. only get so angry when it happens to someone else. Then you, because if it's the injustice, what's the difference if it happened to you or it happened to someone else? Somehow the injustice doesn't bother us so much when it happens to someone else. So there is, actually this is Yosef. This is what Yosef said to his brothers. Lo atem chartem osi heina ki im elokim. These are the statements that when you read, you have to say, hey, that's it. That's what he's saying. He didn't just like, you know, like you take a kid, you kiss his boo-boo. You know, he wasn't just making nice to his brothers. He meant it. And I said last week, you know, he didn't even realize. It wasn't even, it was way more complicated than that. It was Elokim, but not L'mechya. It was Elokim because of Bris Ben Abasarim, like really heavy. So that was David's statement, and David was was rewarded for that vitor. The Gemara says Hashem was extremely pleased that he held himself back, and this is really something that in our personal relationships comes up, and you have to feel this way. Chavit Halavas, I just gave a whole Musa Shmuz, and it's not even the Chavit Halavas' point. His point is that when you internalize this idea, it will help you develop bitachon. Because when you realize that everything's from Hashem, and so then you rely on Hashem. You won't rely on, because he says even Lahoil, I just gave the whole speech about Lahazik, but he says Lahoil also. So, you know, you go to a guy, so again, a guy lends you money, so you have to be Makir Tov. He did you a Tova, the Chiyav HaKaras HaTov, you say thank you. Then he asks you to do something, you know, and you want another loan from him, and he asks you to do something that's not so kosher maybe, and you say, you know, he just did me a favor, and it's kind of embarrassing, and what happens if I need him again for a loan? And this sort of thing happens all the time. Don't look at me with horrified faces. This happens all the time. And you really, so what do? You say, that's when you say, he didn't lend me the money. Hashem lent me the money. And if he doesn't want to lend it to me next time, Hashem will find someone else to lend me the money next time. Because it's not him anyway. It's Hashem. That's when you have to pull out that truth. When it's, so don't pull it out when it's time to say thank you. There's a chiyav HaKaras HaTov. Because he used his bechira, and he did you a favor, and you have a bechira, HaKaras HaTov. So, this is the way of developing. Okay, so I went a little off on a tangent. The Chavis HaLovas talks about it, what we'll call Efezulaso. Efezulaso. There's nothing really that happens or that exists if it's not a manifestation of the will of Hashem. And you just have to keep realizing that. So therefore, you develop bitachon. Why? The servant that has more than one master. So even if they're all going to help him, but each one can help him, so he won't rely on any of them completely, because he always has pas pasalo, what's called. Right? He always has someone that's, you know, so if he doesn't do it, someone else will do it. So I'm not really relying on him. I won't rely on one of them. He doesn't have me, someone else will help me. Bar Kokhva, really. You know, you read the story of Bar Kokhva in the Gemara. This was Bar Kokhva's fatal error. He said, you know, this is what the Gemara says, you know. He said, you know what? Hashem shouldn't help us as long as he doesn't help our enemies. That's all I ask. That was a terrible, terrible mistake. I mean, you know, again, we do it all the time. You know, you say it about Bar Kokhva, you say, oh, I would never say that. You know, we say it in different ways. But that was his, there was an Asik with the Romans, with him, with Rabbi Akiva. It was like very tense and tight, and he had an uncle, right? He had an uncle that was a tzaddik and was davening for him, but they talk Lashon Hara on him, the Tzdukim, not the Tzdukim, the Kusim, whatever, the people that were really allied with the Romans talked Lashon Hara, that the uncle is in cahoots with them, and then he said this statement, and like, tells it he lost the Siyata Dishmaya, and maybe he could have been Mashiach, you don't know. There are some historians who say he built a third base of Mikdash. There are some historians that say there was a you won't find it on Channel 2, but it's there. It's an alternative media.
What was his intention when he said that Hashem shouldn't help us?
I don't know. You know, you have to be very careful when you talk about people who live in the time of the Tanoim. So I can't answer you. But this is what the Chavos HaLevavos wants to warn us against. And nothing is going to happen if Hashem is not with you. Uh-huh. It's not like, okay, Hashem doesn't help me, but he won't help him, so I'm stronger. There's no such thing. Uh-huh. Nothing happens unless Hashem is there. V'imhoyu le'echad mehem yecholos hol kach. Rav Matasio Solomon, he has this book. It's a good book. You should get it and read it. It's an old, a couple of years old already. No, what's it called? Shvuzen or speeches from Rav Matasio Solomon. It's in English. Hansgrohe put it out. I don't know. I'm sorry. I forget what it's called. Anyway, so one of his, there's like 20, 30 essays there. Really solid, good stuff. So one of them he's talking about davening. And he says, you know, we don't realize it, but subconsciously when we daven, I said this over once, we're all sort of saying like, Hashem, don't mess me up. Just don't mess me up. You know, I know how to run my business, but Hashem, I'm doing okay, you know. Don't mess me up. You're stronger than me, don't mess me up. So that's what the Chavos HaLevavos is saying. That's a Bar Kochva statement. And let's say the servant had 10 masters, and one could do more than the other, so in proportion to each one's ability to do for him, he's going to rely on that one more. So even if he's boteach on all of them, but he's boteach on this one more. So just logically, if only one of them could help him, he has 10 masters, but only one of them could take care of him, only one of them can provide him with what he needs, only one of them could throw him in the dungeon. So that's the one he's going to rely on. Just pure logic. If you truly, what's the Chavos HaLevavos saying here? He's saying, you know, it's all a matter of you're internalizing this idea. You say, how can I be talking? It's so hard. Very simple. I mean, it's not as simple as this, because this is one of seven things, and all these seven things is just one of five things. So it's not that simple. But he's saying, if you internalize the idea that nothing happened unless Hashem wants it to, then you will end up relying only on Hashem. As well, like, as easy as 1 + 1 = 2. The kach imhela ha'odam alibo. If a person realizes shelo yo'elo v'lo yaziku af echad min anivron, not even the proverbial mosquito, kim b'shus Hashem yisala. So he'll stop worrying about people. He'll stop being nervous what other people think of him. He'll stop jockeying for position, you know. And this even goes for schools. I should turn off the tape. I want to tell a story.